Well, last week we asked a question about what God can do, and this week we're just saying, look what God can do. There appears to be a theme in the lectionary that I've been clever enough to pick up on. And the theme is the miraculous. There are lots of people who will tell you that the miraculous doesn't happen, or that it doesn't happen anymore, or it doesn't happen in any particular way. But when we look in Scripture, we see the miraculous. And we had it read for us already. We have the story of Elijah going to a widow who has no food, which is miraculously provided. Always enjoyed that story. It made a lot more sense to me as I got older and realized that when Elijah told the widow to go and make him a small cake, which is how I heard it when I was growing up, it was not a cake of the birthday variety or a cupcake, but a loaf of bread makes a lot more sense. But we see Elijah bringing a message to this woman saying that in the midst of a drought, God will take care of you in a miraculous way. And if that weren't enough, the story then has her son dying. We don't know why. He got sick. Breathing got worse and worse, and eventually he died, but was miraculously restored to his mother. When we look at our gospel reading, we see Jesus doing the same thing. Jesus restores to life the only son of a widow. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the fact that I live in a country where my social safety net is more than my children. Not that I have anything against my children, but I'm just glad there are some other options as well. Because I think we sometimes allow it to slip our mind exactly how catastrophic these stories are. Sunday school does all kinds of wonderful things for us, but sometimes it creates a sense of familiarity that makes it easy for us to lose sight of what's actually going on. And the miraculous provision of flour and oil was life itself. When there was a drought then, if you didn't have the money to buy imported food, you died. Back then, when you got old and feeble and couldn't take care of yourself, particularly as a woman, if you didn't have children to take care of you, you were in serious, serious trouble. The best you could hope for would be to become a beggar. Might be a prostitute. You had no options. And we read these stories and we don't glibly skip over them, but I think we miss exactly how extraordinary this is, not just in the miracle itself, but in what it restores. And we see what God can do. Because God didn't just bring life back to these two sons, but in a very real sense, provided life for their mothers. And we look at the miraculous through Scripture. We've heard it read for us, and it's all stunning, staggering. It's beyond what we can believe. And so often we choose not to. We describe it in other ways, or we say, well, miraculous doesn't happen that way anymore because we don't need it to. We do have a social safety net. It's terrible when your only child dies, but it's not the catastrophe that it was then. So maybe we don't need miracles anymore. Well, that's an unfortunately narrow definition of what's a miracle, because I'm far more interested in the other miracle that was read for us this morning. And that's in Paul's letter to the church of Galatia, where he talks about himself. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely jealous for the tradition of my fathers. And he goes on. We're pretty impressed with Paul, and I think we should be. But what's interesting to me, and I've heard some speculation on this, if Paul wouldn't have made the decision he made to follow Jesus, he probably would have ended up being the greatest Jewish scholar ever. His teachers, Gamaliel and some of the others, are still consulted today when we're looking at what's going on in the Old Testament. And Paul was outstripping his fellow students, and as far as we can tell, was outstripping even his teachers. Paul writes in other places that he was sufficiently in tune with the requirements of Judaism, that he was perfect when it came to obeying the law. What are the chances of somebody like that just deciding one day to make the change that he did? Someone being raised from the dead is miraculous. But someone in Paul's situation making this transition from Judaism to a follower of God through Jesus is just as miraculous. And it doesn't end there. The sermon title says, "Look What God Can Do." And it's another one of those phrases that has a couple of different ways we can look at it. One, we can look at the stories of the miraculous in Scripture and we can look at that. And the other is perhaps a suggestion that we look at what God can do. And we look around and we look at those that we know. Because this particular miracle didn't end with Paul. It continues to this day. We sometimes think, if only we could see the end result of the miraculous, then it would be easier for us to believe. Well, fortunately for you, you get to see it every week. At least every week that I'm here. Because, as I've mentioned before, if you talk to anyone who knew me in my 20s, and said that I would ever be doing what I'm doing now, they'd say you were crazy. I would have said you were crazy. Now, if I had carefully thought out, if I got a spreadsheet or some other device and looked at the benefits and the costs of the life I lived in and put them against the benefits and the costs of the life I have now and carefully weighed them out and said, this is a better decision, then no, that's not miraculous, that's just using your head. I didn't do anything of the kind. I had no interest in weighing out those benefits because I didn't think there were any. My life wasn't perfect, I wasn't happy, I had all kinds of problems, but I certainly didn't want that one. I knew what church was like. I went to it. My parents insisted it was easier to go and think of something else than to put up with a hassle of being bothered about it. So I knew. And I still didn't follow Jesus in any way, shape, or form. I didn't believe that he had anything for me. I didn't think the church had anything to offer me other than a social club where the dues were completely voluntary. I didn't make a slight course correction at some point. I made a complete 180-degree turn. Just like Paul did, not to the same extent. I'm not an apostle, I'm not writing scripture like Paul did. But his transition wasn't any more profound than mine. I didn't want to turn around. I had no interest in turning around. My turning around was a miracle. Was a gracious God reaching out to me in ways that are not just explainable by anything, but as dramatic an interaction with him as Paul's. That's a miracle. For many of you, you were born and raised in the church. You've never had that requirement for that flip. And to me, I think that's wonderful. The fact that I experienced what I did and I'm here now doesn't for a moment undo the bad that I did. Doesn't erase the scars, physical and otherwise. If I had my way, nobody would go through that. But if you're one of those blessed people who never had to do that, who understood God's call upon you from an early age and just grew into it, rejoice in that. But be very aware that for some, it's the miraculous that turned us around. It wasn't just the example of my parents, because I'd had that my entire life. It wasn't the people I went to church with. It wasn't any familiarity I had with Scripture. It wasn't any of those things that I suddenly went, okay, I'm going to decide to do this. Rather, it was God saying, you matter to me. You're important. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what you think about yourself, I love you. I'm willing to do anything to have a relationship with you. And I do. I wouldn't have got there any other way. And if I was the only person who had had some kind of an extraordinary encounter with God and made that kind of a transition, then you could probably write it off as whatever you like. But I'm not. I would be shocked if we sat around in a big circle and asked, which of you has had a similar experience or knows someone? I would be shocked if there weren't several stories of people who changed their lives because God brought something into their lives, Himself in a dramatic way, a person out of nowhere, an experience that no one could have predicted. And the change happened. And I realize that there are people who will talk you out of that, or at least try, and they will come up with reasons why it's not a miracle, it's something else. And my answer to that is much the same as my answer to someone who says, Heather doesn't really love you. Because really, there's no evidence that would stand up in a court of law. There's nothing in any healthy relationship, really, that you can't come up with another reason for, economic or social or whatever else, or just crass, manipulative. I don't care. Heather loves me. I love her. The fact that the evidence doesn't lead you to that and only that conclusion doesn't mean anything. People can discount religious experience as a hallucination, as wish fulfillment, as all kinds of things. And I'm sure at times that is what happens. That's not all that happened. A gracious God continues to step into our world in ways that are unexplainable outside of His intervention. He doesn't raise the dead very often, but it's not quite as necessary now. The loss of a child is always terrible. But it's not the catastrophe that it was then. If this part of Saskatchewan went into a complete and horrifying drought that went on for years and years, the rest of the country wouldn't just say, well, too bad for them, I guess they're just going to die. No, there would be assistance of other ways, things would happen. But the fact that God doesn't do those kind of miracles doesn't mean that His miracles are any less miraculous. And I'm not talking about some people who will look at the fact that they open their eyes in the morning as the miraculous intervention of God, or that every breath we take is a miracle. I mean, it is and it isn't, but I hope you understand the distinction I'm making. I mean, God is with us at all times. The Holy Spirit is the ground of our being. Without God, there's nothing. But for the most part, God has created us to stay alive. It doesn't need his ongoing interaction the same way it did for the widow and for Elijah and the son. God still does the miraculous. God still takes people who have no interest in him and make them interested in him. Without taking them over, without changing who they fundamentally are, but turning them into who they should be. God does the miraculous in a quieter way. He doesn't send fire from heaven to burn up rocks and cows and water and all of that. But the transition from darkness to light is no less miraculous. And for some, and I was one of them, without God's direct intervention, it wouldn't have happened. How much more of a miracle do we need? The age of miracles is not past, because there is no age of miracles. There's simply God, who has no age, who has no ages. God continues to demonstrate his relentless love for us, his creation, in ways that are almost mundane, but in sometimes and in some ways are absolutely beyond our ability to explain. Look what God can do. Take a moment to review your own history, perhaps, or the history of your family members. And think of those that you might have known, but perhaps you even gave up on. There are people who considered me hopeless. I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't homeless. I hadn't gone to jail. But they looked at me and just thought, well, too bad for Garth and Angie. They did pretty good out of most of the kids, but that one, no. Those are the people who cried the first time I prayed in my home church. Because they saw the miracle. And we can all see them. If we look to see what God can do, by looking to see what God has done, we can live in the light of the miraculous. Because it still happens. Could be happening right now in some of your circles, I don't know. But what I do know is that just because we don't need God to break into droughts, we don't need God to set fire to sacrifices, doesn't mean that we don't need God's miraculous touch sometimes. And if we look for it, it's there to be seen. Amen.